In our search for Menuchas HaNefesh, we've been feeling our way around the miserable world of Ani B'Goyla. Ani B'Goyla, I am in Golus. We've been learning about the I that's in Golus. And that state of Golus is truly what's keeping each and every one of us from the Menuchas HaNefesh and the Simchas HaNefesh that we could achieve, that we could feel. And we've been talking about the individual person's Geirish from Gan Eden. It's not only Adam, Arishan, and Chava that were forced to leave, but each and every one of us finds ourselves in life left out and pushed out and rejected from Gan Eden, from the Shoresh. Each and every one of us remembers the Menuchas HaNefesh that we felt in our mother's womb, in the Rechem Ha'Aim. And are in the Golus outside of that world, stuck in the horrible matzav that the Magid describes with the words Manishtana Halayl Hazeh. This is what we've been talking about. Manishtana Halayl Hazeh, this long night of Golus, this long night outside of Gan Eden. Manishtana Halayl Hazeh. Manishtana Halayl Hazeh means how many shinuyim, how many opposing forces we're suffering from in this state of Golus, that we're being pulled in so many different directions, and we're being torn by the shinuyim, by the manishtanas, by the contradictions and the paradoxes of the lives that we're living. That on the one hand, as we spoke about in the last year, that on the one hand, we're desperate to find ourselves, to find the Ani, the Atzmi, who I am. On the other hand, there is that terrible longing to return to Gan Eden. There is that terrible longing to return to the world of my mother's womb, to return home, to go back to the beginning, Kishon Beiso, as it says in Navi. And because of that, wherever I am in life, I feel that I am stuck between these two worlds. On the one hand, I want to move forward, and in order for me to find myself and to become myself, I have to tear away from my past. I have to leave Gan Eden. I have to go far away to find myself. On the other hand, once I'm there, I'm a little bit in that world outside of the gates of Gan Eden, I'm broken and miserable, and I feel lost because I want so badly to return to the place that I'm comfortable with and where I come from, and to lose myself and to return back to the shoresh of my existence, of where I come from. As a result of this, we have no menucha. We have no menucha. This is the matzav that we're in Golus of Man Nishtana Halayla Hazeh. Man Nishtana. All of the shinuyim that I live through, all of the changes, all of the opposing forces that are pulling at me, bring upon me this terrible loneliness, and I live a life of steers, of contradictions. And as long as I live a life that's filled with contradictions, I feel that I simply cannot achieve any menucha. I cannot feel menucha in my life. So what do we answer to the question of Manishtana? What do we say to this tzibrochani, to this broken piece of matzah, to this person who can't find himself? Wherever he is, he dreams of someplace else. What do we answer him? The answer is very strange. And each and every year when we read the night of the Seder, Avodim Hayim L'Par B'Mitzrayim, when we think about it, we're wondering how is the question really answered? How is the Manishtan Alay Lazeh, how is that question really answered? Chomitz HaMatzah, Morah, Shayirakis, all of these changes, all of these contradictions, how do we comfort the person who's broken? How do we comfort the person who's looking for that Menuchas HaNefesh? How do we give him chizuk? What does Avadim Hayinu say? V'ilu l'hoitzek Hashem Baruch Hu, as I was saying in Mitzrayim, that if Hashem wouldn't have taken our ancestors out from Mitzrayim, we would be anu v'neinu v'nei b'neinu, we would all be m'shabad l'par v'mitzrayim. How is this a response? Where's the nechama? Where's the hischaskis, Avadim Hayinu? So let's begin with a sentence from the Sfasamas. The Maggid says that the more we tell the story of Yitzhias Mitzrayim, Hareze Meshubach, the greater it is, the more praiseworthy it is, the more wonderful it is, Hareze Meshubach. So the Sfas Emes writes, Ki Yitzias Mitzrayim Ein Lo Hefsek K'may Shekosov Kol Yemei Chayecha. So Samus writes, the Yitzias Mitzrayim is a never-ending process. It never, ever ends. It's, as it says, as we say, Kol Yemei Chayecha, all the days of your life. K'fi Ma'ashem Esapen V'Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the more that we tell the story, the more we tell the story, the more we clarify, the more we understand. The more we tell the story, the more we move towards the completion and the fulfillment of that miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because the miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim began with our ancestors. It began a long time ago, and each and every one of us in our lives is still talking and trying to be megala, to reveal in our lives the shleimus of that miracle. Kol yemei chayecha, it's a process. Kevin she'in Yitzias Mitzrayim, he parsha b'tar, the Svasama says that since Yitzias Mitzrayim is a parsha that's written in the Torah, he nitzches. Just as the Torah, every word in the Torah is forever. Every word in the Torah is pulling us out of Mitzrayim right now. There's the Inyan Sipa Yitzias Mitzrayim. And what is the Inyan of Sipa Yitzias Mitzrayim? So the Svasama says, four words. Lahoitzi mikayach alapoil. Yitzias Mitzrayim means all of the potential that's within me, I should be able to realize and live with in my life. Lahaitzi mikayach alapoil. And all of history is the Yitzias Mitzrayim of Klal Yisrael, Kol Yemei Chayecha, of the Jewish people as a people, to leave Mitzrayim every moment of history, to get further and further away from that state of Ani Begaylov Golus, and to get further and further, and to get closer and closer and closer to that Metzias of who the Jewish people can be as a people, and so it is with each individual. Each and every one of us. Kol Yemei Chayenu, all the days of our lives. The Sfasema says, the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Lahaitzi Mikayach Alapoil. To be able to might see each and every one of us, all of our Kaychas, Mikayach Alapoil, to realize in our lives all of our kaychas. We already learned that the Svasamas, the Marinaim, and other tzaddikim tell us that the word Sipur, Kalamar b'lesaper, doesn't just mean to tell Stam a story. But Sipur is Meloshon of Sapir, of Sapphire, which we spoke about in the last Shia. Sapphire means that on Leil Pesach, on the night of Pesach, every day of our lives, Kol Yemei Chayecha, but especially on the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that by Leil Pesach, each and every one of us has the koyach to mamish clarify this inyan of who am I and what am I supposed to be doing and how can I live in this world. Each and every one of us has the ability, especially by the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, to clarify that nakuda, that it should be like a safir, like a sapphire that's shining, to understand the oymik, to understand the oymik of who I am and what my tachlis is. Therefore, the purpose of telling the story is not to gain new insight and new information. And all of the Haggadahs are beautiful. And all of the new Perushim and the old Perushim, to understand what does the Ben HaChacham mean, and to understand what does it mean Bavaz, and to know what is the Anup Shat and Char Gadya, and who are the characters who are disguised with the Gadya and the Shunyu, the Kalb, and all of those. All of that is Gevaldik. All of that is to learn and to understand. But still, we need to realize that Kalamar b'lesaper is a meshubach is not a tosefes. It doesn't mean Kalamar, but the more we understand and the more we know and the new pshatlich we have, the new ideas or the better understanding that we have of a historical event that took place thousands of years ago. I cannot find redemption in my post-Gan Eden state. I cannot find redemption from my galus to feel a geula in my state of galus or from my state of galus, as a result of understanding a new pshat in the Haggadah and uncovering a new historical fact of what was in Mitzrayim and what was it like when we left Mitzrayim. That yediyah hasichlis, that intellectual information, will never ever redeem me from the misery of ma nishtana, from the misery of a life of steers, from the questions of the Magid. And since Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Svasemis is teaching us that since Yitzias Mitzrayim is a chelik of Torah, since Yitzias Mitzrayim is Torah, it's the yisayid of Kol HaTorah Kula, Mimela, it must be that Yetzias Mitzrayim is something that I'm living through right now, and that I could tap into right now, and it's a process, as the Sfasem says, She'em Lehefse Kol Yumei Chayecha, today, this moment, that I'm able to achieve this redemption. So what does this mean? And what is Be'etzim, what is Mitzrayim? What is the Golus of Mitzrayim? And how can we begin to find our way out? So everybody here knows, and we've discussed this so many times over the years, that Mitzrayim is a lashon of Meitzar. And everybody knows that Min HaMeitzar means that when I'm stuck in a certain narrow, in a narrow place, I'm stuck, I don't have room. That's called a Meitzar. What we haven't spoken about, and I was thinking a lot about, is that the word Mitzrayim really is the plural Meitzarim. But on a deeper level, maybe Mitzrayim means the Meitzar of a double life. In other words, Meitzar means a narrowness, I'm stuck in something. And maybe the plural Mitzrayim is telling me that what I'm stuck in is a Mitzias of doubleness. What does that mean? Over the years, we spoke about the fact that the Torah begins with the letter Beis. And there are many, many reasons for that. And everybody knows there are chazals and there are beautiful things on the letter Beis. The simplest reason for that is that our entire Metzius in this world, and it's the Metzius that takes away from us very, very, very violently our feeling of Menuchas Nefesh, is that everything in this world is Beis. Beis means, the side of the letter Beis means that there's a Metzias that is double. What does that mean? The Golos of Mitzrayim, in that world that's called the Golos of Mitzrayim, all of reality and all of life is perceived in a way that's black or white. That means the pain of the letter Beis is, the Beis always tells me that I have to make a choice. Beis is the letter of Bereishis, it's the letter of Bechira. It's the letter of Bechira. Beis means two. And two tells me that I have to make a choice in order for me to be happy. In order for me to live a life that's true, I am, every single second of my life, I'm making a choice between two possibilities that are conflicting each other. I'm stuck between these two choices. Ahava or Sina. Should I love or should I hate? Am I supposed to love this that I'm experiencing right now, or this person, or this time, or this place? Or am I supposed to hate this? I have to make a choice. I feel that I have no choice but to make a choice between Ahava or Sina. Guf or Nefesh, who am I? Am I a person that is focused on my body, on my physical existence, and all that means? Or am I a person that is focused on the Nefesh, on my soul, on the hidden part of who I am? On the Ruchnius or the Gashmius, what kind of a person am I? Am I a chassid or a misnagid? My children grew up on many levels being very confused because of having a father like me. And many times, you know, since they grew up in this area, in Farakwe, in the five towns, so their friends knew that they have a father that goes with a Strimal and a Bekesha. So on the other hand, so that would seem to indicate that they're chassidim, or that at least their father's a chassid. On the other hand, there wasn't too much that was chassidish about the kids and the neighborhood that they were living in. So they were, on a regular basis, they would come home and say, "Daddy, are we chassidim or are we not chassidim?" And I'm still trying to understand that myself. And I still feel that I have to make a decision, that the children have to know, are we chassidim or are we not chassidim? So there are people that feel, well, how do I define myself? Am I a chassid or am I a misnagid? Am I a chassid or am I not a chassid? Even the decision, even to understand in terms of anoshim and nashim, men and women. So am I more like this? Am I more like that? Whether you're a man or a woman, but the personality, each person is in this place of meitzarim, where where all of life is filled with steers, with contradictions, and the entire way of looking at life is not in a way of harchav, of expansiveness. The eved of Mitzrayim, to be enslaved to Egypt, means to live in a state of constant tension, where I do not have the harchavas hanefesh, I do not have the expansiveness and the broadness of soul, to be able to understand and to be able to feel that at one moment I can be a chassid, at another moment I could be a misnagid. That at one moment my soul, my heart, my existence is big enough to contain within it, at one moment, an intense love. At another moment, a hatred or a fear. Golus itself means when a person has been misrachig, when a person has drifted far, far away into this world of being in a state of contradictions and feeling the contradictions to the point that the individual feels that he's mamish suffocating, that he can't breathe. Therefore we understand that Mitzrayim, Meitzorim Mitzrayim is also a lashon of Tzura. What is Tzura? Tzura means when something has a specific form and shape. Tzura means something that's solid. It means something that's mitzumtzum, it's stuck, it doesn't have a merkha. When we think of the ocean, we don't think of a tzura. When we think of the ocean, we think of expansiveness and broadness and openness. When you think of a place, of a specific place in which you live, it has shape and it has form. Even a stretch of land that reaches out into the water can be called it's a place, the strait, the meitzar of the water that's held between two pieces of land that are extending to the water, that take away from the water that openness and that expansiveness. Because the word Mitzrayim, Meitzarim, means Tzura. It means Tzimtzum. It means the opposite of Merchav, of expansiveness. Therefore, Paro, we spoke about this many times, therefore, Paro, the word Paro, the king of Egypt, the king means that Paro held within himself all of the kaiches of the Mitzrayim of Mitzrayim. Therefore, power we learn is the Isis Ha'orev, the neck. And everybody knows that Kshei Orev, stubbornness, to be stuck and to be stubborn, to see things in one way, and to feel that I have to make this choice over that choice, and all other choices are wrong choices, and there's no value, or there's nothing at all of any worth or value in the other choices. That feeling that I cannot venture out into the expansive ocean, and that I'm stuck in a specific place in a specific way. That's the world of Pyro. Pyro is Ha'orif, is She'orif. And therefore, Pyro is terrified of the Ivrim. Remember that the Jewish people in those days were called Ivrim in Chumash. They were called Ivrim. We're the children of Avraham Ivri. And the essence of a Jew, but the tev of a Jew is that we're Ivrim. That means that we come from Avraham Avinu, who crossed over the river, Me'eva HaNohar. Me'eva means that a Jew in his nature, in his teva, contains within him the hachov, the merchovim, the expansiveness of that world which is Me'eva, beyond the river. It means the opposite of being stuck in a tzura, in a specific way, in a specific place, in a specific time. Now, of course, in Kiddusha, there's a mid of Kshei Arif. Kshei Arif means to stubbornly hold on to the truth, and we're praised for that. As the Tanya explains, Ki Am Kshei Arif, who, even though it plays itself out in many negative ways, but there's also something very, very positive about being certain with who you are and being confident in who you are. But that could become a terrible curse if the person gets stuck in the Mitzrayim, in a world of tzimtzum, of closed-mindedness, with that feeling that I'm either this or I'm that. The Ivri comes from the world which is Me'eva. Paro is afraid of the Neshama. The Neshama of a Jew comes from a place of unbelievable expansiveness. The greatest harchav in the world, the soul of a Jew is so broad and so expansive, it can contain in it chametz and matzah. joy and sadness, love and hatred, the body and the soul. Everything can be contained in a yid, because the neshama carries within it all of the koiches of the universe. As we'll talk about later on, kol ha-neshama tahalelka, the entirety of the neshama has in it everything. But Paro means, no, there's only one thing. And Paro is afraid of the neshama, he's afraid of the ivri. Paro is terrified of the shinuyim, of the differences, of the changes, of the contradictions that freedom could bring. Freedom means that a person is able to experience the entire range of existence. So Paro, the king of Egypt, does not want to change. He prefers that state of Mitzrayim should continue. And there are Jews who are Avodim Hayinu L'Paro Mitzrayim. To be an Eved to Mitzrayim, to be a slave in Egypt means, I prefer the misery, I prefer the loneliness, I prefer the gullus that I'm in and this being a broken piece of matzah, I prefer the sadness and all of the yisurim to the possibility of change, to the possibility of considering the alternative of freedom. So when we say Avodim Hayinu L'Paro Mitzrayim, it's an amazing thing that Mitzrayim is the gematria 380. Kna'an, which is Eretz Yisrael, that's how it was called at that time, Kna'an is exactly 190. That means that Mitzrayim is twice Kna'an. Egypt, Mitzrayim, is the gematria 380, and Kna'an, which means Eretz Yisrael, is 190. So it's a ratio of 2 to 1. That means that the journey that takes place throughout our lives, that kol yimei chayach of trying to get out of Mitzrayim throughout life, is a journey from 2 to 1. Egypt is 380, Mitzrayim equals 380, Kna'an, Eretz Yisrael, which is redemption, is 190. The crossing over from Mitzrayim, the leaving Mitzrayim, and the trip to Eretz Yisrael means my struggle to break out of a way of life that tells me that it's either this or that. A way of life that causes me to feel that I'm constantly, constantly stuck between two places. Either Gashmias or Ruchmias. I'm either the biggest chazer, I either bury myself under rib steaks and fries and a million other things of this world, or I'm the most delicate spiritual person on earth. I'm either passionately in love, or I can't stand, or I can't take this. I'm either a Gemara guy, or I'm a Kabbalah guy. I'm a Gemara person that's strictly in that world of halacha. And if anybody says maybe you'd like to learn some Musar, or you'd like to learn some Chassidus, no, that's not for me. I'm entirely, entirely Gemara. I have to make that choice. Mitzrayim says, the slavery of Mitzrayim says, you have to make a choice. It's either Gemara or something else. But what about the possibility that I could unify those two worlds? What about the possibility of enjoying an intense relationship with a blood Gemara, and at the same time being a person who, after hours and hours and hours, that I'm able to close the Gemara, and I'm able to lose myself, you know, in a Tanya, in a Sfasemes, in a Michtam Leah, whatever it is, in a Perek of Tanakh, in a poem from Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, from Rav Kook. That voice in the head of Paro tells a person that there's only, that you have to constantly make a choice. It's either or. It's either or. Therefore, Mitzrayim is 380. Kna'an, Eretz Yisrael, means that I could be one. And in this one person who I am, I can experience the broadness and the diversity of that life of Eretz Yisrael. So now we come back and we understand that the underlying stira of life, the contradiction of all contradictions that's tearing each and every one of us apart, is what we spoke about, that in the beginning it once happened that we were in our mother's womb. And back home, there was that comfort of slipping into our parents' lives. And we didn't have to find ourselves. We were able to enjoy the luxury of being a part of the mother, of being attached to the bias, to the house. And that life in Gan Eden, was so unbelievably beautiful. But then it came to a time where we heard the voice saying inside of us, you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. Either you're going to be a mama's boy, and you're going to be stuck in this house, and you'll be stuck with these old parents in your old room, with your old way of life, which isn't your life, it's your parents' life. And Mitzrayim Paro says, listen, buddy, you have to give this up. Drop it. You have to leave your house. You have to run away from your parents. And the children begin to feel, for reasons that are unexplainable 90% of the time, I don't know what the statistics are, what do you have against your parents? What do you have against their way of life? Why is it that everything that you're doing now is simply to destroy what was? Why can't you accept the possibility that there were precious, delicious, good things in your parents and in your home? But there are other things that are out there. And you could find yourself without destroying your past. But the voice of Mitzrayim comes and whispers. Power comes along and says, no, it's either or. And if you want to be yourself, if you want to be a mensch, if you want to grow up and be independent and find your own way, you have to tear the fruit from the tree. That's the sin of Adam and Chav. You have to tear the fruit from the tree. You have to make a total separation. You have to cut yourself off. And there are ways of doing that. Of course, everybody goes back and visits mom and dad. And you call mom and you barely tolerate, you know, her talk. And you say, yeah, okay, ma, I gotta go. Good Shabbos, a good Yor, a good Shemitah, a good Yorvel, whatever it might be. But you could barely tolerate it. Because you feel inside of you that you took the fruit from the tree. You already separated the fruit, which means the child, from the tree, which means the parent. You made that separation, and you can't go back. So therefore, you half-heartedly entertain your parents. And you make your little visits back home, and you find it comforting, it's cute, you show the kids, this is why I slept, this is why I did, this is why I went. But you run away. Because the voice of power says, run away from this place. Run away from your mother's room. Run away and find yourself. So you run. And then finally you've gotten furthest away, and you've done the craziest things. You've gotten to the place where you feel that this is who I am, and everything, it turns out, who you are is the opposite of who your parents are. But Davka, when you've come to that place and you say, I finally arrived, all you're chalishing for is to be back in your mother's arms. All you dream about when you look at the old pictures is of being a child again and being back in the rechem, being back in the womb of that clarity, of that certainty of what it was once like. And because of this, because the person hears Paro saying, make a choice. It's either your parents or it's you. What do you want? It's either their home or your home. Paro says the letter Beis. It's either or. It's either or. You can't live with both of these. It's black and white. So Paro says to you like this, if you want to be religious, you like that? That's fine. Paro says, that's what you like? Paro also says, go and serve God. But go serve God in the desert, which means you want to be religious? So Paro says to you, Gesundheit, but if you're going to be religious, then you understand you're giving up this world. Realize that. Then go serve him in the desert. But if you want to be religious, then you better be religious with all of the intensity and all of the fervor that won't allow you to smile to your wife. That won't give you the pleasure of going for a bike ride with your kids. That won't give you that will tell you that you can't play a little basketball. You can't hit a couple of balls. You can't do anything. Paro says to you, it's either or. Either you're going to be truly religious, and to be truly religious means an intensely spiritual person. If you don't want that, Paro says, Gesundheit, then you have another choice. The choice is to be the biggest Eisfarf. The choice is to throw yourself into the world. Okay, you'll say your shmaz, you'll say some essays, and you keep Shabbos, you don't want to get in trouble, but you're your 2 feet are firmly planted in Gashmias, and all you think about and all you dream about is the next job, the next promotion, the next house, the next girlfriend, the next this, the next that. Because Paro says it's either or. Paro says either you're a person that is a very, very, very serious, intense religious person, or you're the happy-go-lucky fellow that just enjoys life without having to think and make any cheshbon nefesh. That's what the mitzvah tells you. The mitzvah inside of us is always afraid of the ivri. There's this ivri, the ivri who comes me'ever. The ivri comes from a place that's so great and that's so high and that's so exalted, and the neshama comes from a place where a person is able to laugh and he's able to cry. He's able to learn Torah very, very deeply, but he's also able to close the Gemara and to smile and to be happy and to be with his wife, to be with his children. One of the Chavayim was just telling me how he was by a big tzaddik in Yerushalayim, and what he noticed in Yerushalayim is how this tzaddik in 1 second is like jumping and flying. He's in the highest ilumis, and then the second that his child comes and says Tati, the second that the child pulls out his coat, he says, "What is it, Engler? What is it?" And he's able to laugh and to talk to a child the way that every father and every mother talks to a child, to come down and to be a little child and to play with a child. He's able to be that. And I once told you the shock. I'm not so sure that this should be on tape, but since the Amshin of Rebbe was a place, it's a place that's open. Thousands of Jews go there. That I mentioned many times. The first time that I was by the Amshin of Rebbe, and I was waiting over there, that I saw that there was a game of Scrabble. And I asked the Shamus, "Who? Somebody left the Scrabble?" He said, "Nobody left that. The Rebbe plays Scrabble with the kids." And I said, "The Amshin of Rebbe plays Scrabble with his children?" So I wasn't sure whether I was going to leave religion or get more involved in religion at that point. The Amshin of Rebbe. Because in my smallness, in my mitzvah, I couldn't understand that a tzaddik who's up, who's 24 hours thinking of God, who's 24 hours on fire with the Rebbein Shalom, that in that world of the Amshin of the Rebbe, there's room for playing Scrabble with his kids. I couldn't understand that. It was a stira to me. It's a manishtana, HaRebbe Hazeh Mikol HaRebbis. How is this Rebbe different? That what? That he has an imchametz and matzah? He has Mora Shar Yerokas, Yosh Mesubin. How could it be that one person, that this is one person, that he's able to embrace and to contain within him that fire of the Rebbein Shalom, at the same time to be like a little kid that likes to play with his children the game of Scrabble and make them happy? So the Shalom of a Jew has that. All of that and more. This is a mashalim. But the neshama of a Jew is so gewaldig, it's so big. The neshama of a Jew is me'ever, like the one who made the neshama. The Rebbein Shalom is noisei hafochim. Haderes v'amun, habin v'habrocha, hagayv v'hagdula, hadei v'hadiba, ahayit v'ahoda, avad v'hasikas, hazach v'hazoy, l'chai elamim. L'chai means that the Rebbein Shalom is chai elamim. He has all of these opposites. Hanoi v'hanetzah. Everything in the world is in the Rebbein Shalom. And the Yid comes from a place me'ever. And me'ever means he has everything in the world inside of him. He has to make the choices. What's right for this moment and this time? And if, God forbid, during the time he's supposed to be learning Gemara, he takes out a Scrabble, that's a problem. And you know what? And if he's supposed to be playing Scrabble with his kid, and instead of playing Scrabble with his kid, he sits there while he's playing Scrabble, and he opens up the Gemara, and the kid feels that he's not playing Scrabble with him, he's just learning, and he's just trying to throw a couple of peanuts my way with a game of Scrabble, that's wrong! The kid should feel that you're with him in the Scrabble game, not that you have the Gemara open and that you're in this and you're just trying to make him happy with a little bit to play with him. Because there's a time and there's a place, but the mitzvah comes and says not like that. The mitzvah comes and says like this: you either are a laughing person or you're a crying person. You're either an intense religious guy or you're this joker and wise guy, this not religious person. You either love or you either hate. But the neshama that comes from the Rebbein Shloilom, the neshama that feels like Rav Kook had in his amazing poem, Merchavim, Rav Kook always wrote, and he has that poem, expanses, I'm longing to be able to come to that place of Merchavim. The neshama of a Jew is not afraid of the contradictions of the Manishtana, of Chametz HaMatzah, of Mora and Shayirakas, of Yesh and Mesubin. The neshama of a Jew is not afraid. The neshama of a Jew knows that I can leave my parents' home. I can find who I am. I could discover the Ani inside of me. But my parents, I could return back and go back to my parents and know that that's also a part of the Ani. That's also who I am. I'm able to, on the one hand, go out and find it myself, but I don't have to cut away from the past. I don't have to tear the apple. I don't have to tear, it wasn't an apple. I don't have to tear the fruit from the tree. On the one hand, I'm able to come to the deepest awareness of who I am, but that doesn't prevent me from having intimate and deep loving relationships with people who are not me and people who are different from me. I'm able to do that. So the Maggid comes along and says, Say Ulamad, go out. And going out means go out from Mitzrayim, go out from the world of the Mitzri. Go out from the world that says it's either or, it's black or white, it's Ruchnius Agashmis, it's either the Guf or the Neshama, it's your parents or it's you. Go out from that narrow way of looking at things. From that way of Mitzrayim. You can be a grown-up and you could still be a kid. You could be a grown-up and you could be a kid, and it's okay. It's okay to be a grown-up and a kid, just you have to be careful that the moment that you're supposed to be grown-up, at that moment you have to make sure to be a grown-up. And when you're supposed to be a kid, at that moment, be a kid. But and the Shema of a Jew is able to contain all of these extremes and all of these opposites within it. This journey from Mitzrayim to Canaan, from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, is a very long one. It's very, very hard for any one of us to find out all the different parts inside of us, to find out what's really, really inside. And we're always slipping back into Mitzrayim. And we're always thinking, you know, there's a part of my personality, of my own personality that I like. There's a part of me that I like, and there's a part of me that I want to present to the world. But there's another part of myself that I'm afraid of. I'm afraid to see, I'm afraid to find out. I don't want to go into that place. There's a part of me that I'm afraid of. And therefore, what the person naturally does is, it's not just a matter of running away from our homes, from our parents, from our mother's womb, from Gan Eden. It's not just that. It's we ourselves are afraid that within ourselves we have these different contradictory emotions, these different thoughts. And we are frightened and we run away. And we try to kill a part of ourselves. The same way we try to kill a connection to the past in order to find ourselves, we kill different parts that are inside of us because we feel that if we confront those parts of ourselves, if we face up to what's inside of us, even though some of those things might be unpleasant, we think that if we face up to those parts inside of ourselves, that we're going to, God forbid, get thrown back to the mother's womb. We're going to get lost. We're not going to be able to function in this world. The truth is that Eretz Yisrael comes and tells each and every one of us. Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael tells each and every one of us. You can go and be in love with this woman. You could fall deeply in love. And that doesn't mean that you have to let go of yourself. You could still be yourself. You know how many relationships there are. This happens more to women than to men, but it's by both. How many times you have where there's a woman that she falls in love with a guy, but she falls in love with a guy, and I spoke of this once years ago, she falls in love with the guy, and then she can no longer respect herself. Her way of loving this person is to lose her own self-worth and her own self-identity, so she can only identify with that person. She basically merges into that person, not in a healthy way. This in its most extreme form leads to abuse. And you will find that there are many relationships where the man tries to cut the woman off from her past, that she's not to have. You can't talk to your sister anymore. You can't have those friends. You can't be connected to your parents anymore. There's only me. And there are many, many, many millions of women right now in the world who suffer from the Mitzrayim that says, you can't love your guy without becoming your guy. You can't love your guy without being. You can't love your guy and still be yourself. Because if you really, because he's telling you, and you've fallen into this mistake, to think that if I really love him, then I don't have my own opinions. If I really love him, then I don't have my own space. If I really love him, then I don't have my own parents, my sister, my brother, I don't have anything that's mine. Because I've heard enough talks, enough shmuzen, that have convinced me that true love means losing myself. This is the sheker, this is the lie of Mitzrayim. True love doesn't mean losing yourself. True love means that you're able to give yourself over to this person. There's a part of you that's deeply in love and connects to that person. But at the same time, it doesn't mean sacrificing myself and giving up myself. And if the other person would truly love you, he wouldn't ask for such a sacrifice. A person who lives in Eretz Yisrael, who's out of Mitzrayim, knows that you could be a tzaddik, you could be a big tzaddik and a big Yirei Shamayim, You could be a very, very God-fearing person. And you're still able to love, and you're still able to have a cheshik for this world. And Chazal tells the Baruch Shem gave us this world to enjoy this world in a way that's permitted. But he gave us a way to enjoy this world. And Chazal said that for everything that's forbidden, there's something of that type that's permitted. The Baruch Shem wants us to enjoy the world. Chazal said that he took Adam Arishan, and he flew Adam Arishan over Gan Eden, over the entire world. And he said, look what a beautiful world this is. Don't destroy my world. The Baruch Shem wants us to enjoy the world. He wants us to be able to experience the world and to be able to live in that way of halalu b'seikah shayfa, halalu b'nevel v'china, halalu b'seifa macho, halalu b'minu v'ugav. Halalu means praise God with all of these different instruments. Praise God and cling to Him with all of these different experiences, with the learning of the Gemara, and then when you're playing Scrabble with the kid. Because when you're learning the Gemara, you're serving God. And when you close the Gemara and you play Scrabble with a kid to be Mesamech a child and to come into his little world, then you're serving God also. That's a different way of serving God. These are different instruments. It's not a contradiction. You don't have to feel that when you close the Gemara and you spend some time with a child, you don't have to hear the voice of power that says, look at you, you faker. What a faker. You sit there learning Gemara all day, and I look at you like an idiot sitting here like a baby playing Scrabble. What's the matter with you? Are you a Yirei Shamayim? You're not an Eilich Yid. You're not a Yirei Shamayim. It's either or. But David Mel says, Halu b'seika shahu b'nevuch, every instrument. Kol ha'neshama tahalelka. Kol ha'neshama means that every single part of my personality, every experience of my life and every part of my personality is a way that I could praise God and that I could sing to Him, that I could serve Him, every part of me. So now we understand, let's start to finish up. Now we understand, kol ha'marbel esaper, b'yitzias Mitzrayim, harezim meshubach. So we asked, what's the point? And we feel this a little bit. We don't want to say it to anybody. We feel like, what's the meaning of Kalamar Balasapa? I should tell the story more and more and more. How many times can you tell the same story? So I'm trying to entertain myself. I got a new Haggadah this year. And if you're wondering, you probably got like 10 new Haggadahs this year. So you got a new Haggadah, and now you're going to try to feel a little bit Pesach because you got a new Haggadah. There's some new take on Pesach. I got to find a new take. A new pshat in Dayenu, a new pshat in the four sons, something interesting, something new. That's not what it means, kolamar b'lisapir. Because we think that thought comes from Mitzrayim itself. It's crazy, but on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that very thought is a Mitzrayim thought. And a person feels, what's the tachlis? I'm telling the same story, nochamala, nochamala, nochamala. How many times can you tell the same ma'isa? How many times can you tell the same mice? It's a good thing that there's a year apart between stones. Could you imagine if the Baruch Shem gave us every single night of the year that you should make a Seder? And we have to say, okay, not with all the food but can you imagine to tell over the whole mice every night? We feel that way by davening. Don't you feel that way by davening? Here I go again. And if it wouldn't be a few hours apart, you go out of your mind. But here we go again. You open up the Seder and you start to say it again. It's the same story that I told yesterday. What am I doing? Now, what's the tachlis of saying something that I know? I know everything the Haggadah says. I know it. I remember it, and I'm studying it, and I understand. So the Sfas Emes said, "You're missing the point. You're still in Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim ein loy hefsek. Leaving Egypt is a never-ending process. K'mo shekasuv kol yemei chayecha, all the days of your life." And the more you clarify The more you tell the story to clarify, to understand, and to feel this, Nigmar or Misraba Hanesti, you experience more and more and more the miracle of getting out. What that means is, as I said before, that telling the story is not going over the facts. It's not trying to find some new interesting or thought-provoking insights into the Haggadah, some new pshatlech that it should be an interesting evening, and to entertain your guests. That's not called redemption. Because, you know, some of the smartest people in the world that have the sharpest things to say are in the deepest, deepest gullahs. If you could pull out all the university professors, I'm not talking about the ones that are Shomer Mitzvahs, but if you pull out all the professors from all the universities in the world, you'd have the biggest collection of miserable misfits. Much, much, infinitely more so than fishermen and tailors. And you pull out the professors, you got the most miserable, broken misfits who not only have destroyed their own lives, but they've destroyed the lives of anybody who tried to get near them. Again, I'm not saying chasom about everybody. I'm only talking about the vast majority. I'm not talking about Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, Yidden. I'm talking about the people that you and I have met, have had the misfortune of meeting in life. That's not redemption. A new pshat. A new pshat. A new idea. What is redemption? Redemption comes from the great longing that I have to fill that empty space in my heart, that vacuum inside of me, that has left me feeling so far away from who I really am. And Geula is a process, the Sfasama says, that doesn't end. It's a process that doesn't end because it's something that's not, it's not taking place outside of man. You see, in the world, redemption, if you want to be, if America wants to be redeemed from England, it takes place outside of the person. If any nation is seeking independence, redemption is defined by something that's taking place outside. There are events that are taking place outside. What the Sfasamis is saying is that redemption, Yitzias Mitzrayim, is a process that takes place within the person. It's within the person. It's looking for the afikoyman, that part of yourself, that big part of yourself that's been hiding so many years because you're afraid to take a look at it. You're afraid that if you venture into that place, that's going to destroy the life that you've built for yourself. It's that part of yourself, redemption, that we spoke about weeks and weeks ago, that we saw from the Tzaddikim, that they spoke about the Pina HaChavuya Shel Ha'ani HaPnimi HaPrati, that corner, that hidden corner of who I am, of that real person who I am. So when we tell, the point of telling the story over and over and over again is that with every single word that I say and every thought that I have is to reveal more and more koilus, more and more of the sounds, to redeem more and more of the pieces of the puzzle of who I am, to find, to be able to bring back from my aver, from the other side. There's so much inside of each and every one of us that's me'aver from the Egypt that we're living in, that comes from that place of kol ha'neshama tahalelka, that comes from the neshama. Mitzrayim means every moment of my life. The Sfasama says, "Menakayach lapal." There's so many songs, there's so many sounds, there's so many beautiful things that have been sitting in my life. Me'aver, I put them me'aver. I left them me'aver. I left them on the other side. I didn't bring them into my life. I didn't make them part of my life because I heard Paro telling me at some point, you better make a choice. You better not go back there. You better leave that alone. If you want to be yourself, if you want to be this, then you have to leave all of that. And we were forced into making these choices. Geula means kol ha'neshama tahalelka. It means going back. It means going back and picking up the pieces that I left behind. It means going back into my parents' home. It means going back into my parents' home and being able to adore and to love that part of who I am also. And to know that in order to be myself, and I can still walk out of my parents' house and not get swallowed up in my past. I can love them and love myself and the life that I've established for myself, because the truth is I can't really love myself because myself consists of my parents as well. And if I hate my parents and if I hate my past and if I hate my old home and my old block, it means that I hate myself. And I can't have any menuchas and nefesh. As long as I hear Paro saying either this or that, I can't find any menuchas and nefesh. The kol ha'neshama tahalelka, all of my neshama will praise God. Therefore, harei zem meshubah kolamar b'lesaper, it says in the Svarim, the more I tell the story, the more I clarify this, the more I bring out all the instruments of who I am and all the sounds of my existence. Harei Zemeshubach, the Sforim say, Harei Zemeshubach means that you become a greater person. You become a person who's more Meshubach. Not that it is more praiseworthy. Harei Zeh, you, the person yourself, become the person you can be. Harei Zemeshubach, to be able to redeem, to bring out from jail, from out from prison, to be able to redeem all the different parts of who I am. When we first learned this together, it was on Shabbos, Parashas Shemini. And we were talking about the tragedy of Nadav and Avihu. That Nadav and Avihu, as you know, they rushed in to bring the Torah. Chazal tell us that there were different problems, but the Zohar Kodesh, which Pnimis of Torah, says that the main problem that Nadav and Avihu had is that they refused to get married. They did not want to marry. And you know that these were great, great, holy and exalted tzaddikim. They were so great that in certain ways, even Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, in certain ways, felt that they couldn't equal the greatness of Nadav and Avihu. We don't understand this. So the Zohar Kodesh says that they did not want to get married. L'nasibu. Why wouldn't they get married? It's chamitzvah to get married. Why wouldn't they get married? So the Sforim HaKadoshim say that Nadav and Avihu could not perceive of a life inside the Mishkan, inside the Holy of Holies. They couldn't perceive of a life on fire, with a fire coming down from Shemayim, and at the same time, you'll excuse me for putting it this way, of taking out the garbage, diapering a kid, driving a carpool. They didn't want to get married. And it was, they were still, in that way, they were the embodiment, with all of their greatness and all of their holiness, they were still in Mitzrayim. They were the antithesis of Yetzias Mitzrayim in this way. The refusal to get married was their statement that either a person lives in a way of Dveikus Bashem, and the only way to achieve Dveikus is by running away from the Manishtanas, running away from the wife and the kids, running away from that, what appears to be a contradiction. And that's why when they went in to bring the Keteiros, it's so amazing. Davka the Keteiros, where the Keteiros, according to the Zohar Kodesh, the whole inyan of the Keteiros is to bring together all the different spices of this world. The Keteiros itself, the word Keteiros is, but Ketira Chada means to join together. Keteiros means to join together. So look what they did. The very same people who could not join together Torah and Scrabble, right? They couldn't join together Hashem and a wife. So they come in to bring the Keteiros, not at the right time, in the wrong way. They come in to bring the Keteiros. The Keteiros itself is saying what? The Keteiros itself says that all of the different sounds, all of the different flavors of the world are in the neshama of a Jew. The Keteiros has all the different colors of kol neshama tahalelka. Keteiros, therefore, but the Keteiros says yisamach leiv. The Keteiros was such an avoda. The Keteiros brought such joy, yisamach leiv. It brought joy to the heart because Keteiros came and told you, Rabbi Yid, you're not in Egypt anymore. You could still be nice to your parents, and you could be nice to yourself, and you could still love your wife and love yourself. You could still be independent and go through this great self-discovery, and at the same time, you don't have to cut yourself off from all the other parts of your past. You don't have to do that. You could be all of that together. And therefore the Keteiros, which was brought on that amazing day when the Kohen Gadol will go Lifnei V'Lifnim and Yom Kippur. Well, there's a Keteiros, of course, every day, but Lifnei V'Lifnim on Yom Kippur, the Keteiros of the year on Yom Kippur, which is Yom Echad, one day. Chazal say Yom Echad, Zu Yom HaKippur, Yom Kippur. Think of Yom Kippur. What a day of contradictions. Yom Kippur, you bring the Seir LaShem and the Seir LaZozo. I have two goats standing in front of you. They have to look the same, but whatever, the same price, the same look. One is LaShem and one's LaZozo. The Kohen Gadol wears white garments and wears gold garments. Erev Yom Kippur, I stuff myself, and Yom Kippur, I fast. It's the most spiritual day of the year, Yom Kippur, and the Gemara says that's when they used to make Shidduchim. You say it's the most Neshamadik day, and that's Davka and Yom Kippur, that they used to turn around, but I see on the end of times, that on Yom Kippur and Tubov, right, they would go out, and they were making Shidduchim Yom Kippur. If anybody would try to do that now, you could imagine what would happen on Yom Kippur. How could it be in Yom Kippur, the most spiritual day of the year? The day that you're in the highest place in Shemayim, the day that you go Lifnei V'Lifnim, on that day we're worried about Shidduchim? On that day? The white garments means everything that's spiritual. The gold garments means gold, means to have a nice house, to enjoy the world. That's what gold means. On one day, the Torah says, how is it possible? Because Vayerev Vayberke Yom Echad means when everything returns to oneness. Egypt means, Mitzrayim means two. It means it's either you wear in your life a white garment or a gold garment. Either you fress or you fast. Either you're alone or you're married, right? Either you're Dovek Tashem or you're married. You can't have both. And Yom Kippur says, Yom Echad, Ketoyrus of Yom Kippur means every spice, every ingredient, everything is, it goes up to Hashem Yisbarach, everything is Nichlal, in that unbelievable, unbelievable Ketoyrus that brings all this together. And that's why during this time of the year, during the time of the year between Pesach and Shavuos, during the time of the year from Pesach to Shavuos, that process of leaving Mitzrayim, we go from that world of Pesach, we count Sfiras HaOmer, and the matzah is made from chitim. Chitim is very refined. The wheat, the grain is very refined. Only in Shavuos do we come to a level where we're able to have the offerings from Sa'irim, right? From barley. That transformation, that a person is able to be transformed from a person to bring together Adam uvehema teshia Hashem. Adam uvehema teshia Hashem means every part of myself I bring to you on the altar. Every part of myself is holy. I just have to uncover the wholeness in each part of myself, how it works together with all the other parts of myself. But that's kol haneshama tahalelka.